So we are blessed. We've got, I know John's been, yesterday, been working on his message the day before, and I know he's got something good for us. And so let's just pray for God's anointing to be upon him right now. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you. We thank you so much that, Lord, that you have spoken to your servant, Lord God, that you are going to use him, Lord God, even right now, to touch our hearts, Lord God, to speak to us. So, Lord, bless this word. Use this word to touch us, to change us, to build us, to strengthen us, and, Lord God, to even excite us, Lord God, and make us enthusiastic about serving you. Lord, use John right now. Bless him. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, the title of my message today is Getting Our Minds and Attitudes Ready for War. You know, I thought it was appropriate what Pastor John was talking about when he was saying about how things are changing in the world. That witches are, there's more witches in the world than there are Presbyterians, you know. So it's kind of interesting that you know, we need to recognize that we are in a battle. You know, the enemy wants to make things easy for us. You know, life is easy. Everything, we just lay back, we watch our television, we do what we want to do, we go play golf. Life is good. We've got money, we've got everything. Children are doing, family's happy, everything's going well. And yet, the enemy has a plan for you. And he wants to destroy, and he wants you not to think that he is there. Amen? He wants you to believe that he is not doing anything, that you actually are having victory in your life right now because you have peace and everything. I wonder how the apostles felt. Well, did they have peace in their life? No. Matter of fact, they were tortured and crucified, and Jesus was crucified. There was nothing that they did that actually was peaceful while they were preaching, except, you know, maybe when they sat down with a meal with their brothers and sisters. But I think it's important that we realize that we are in a battle against an enemy, not just for our souls, but we're in a battle for each other. We are here in a struggle. If we can get our minds off of ourselves, then we can actually consider the work that God has placed into us, the gift that he's given to us, so that we can help each other overcome the struggles that we're going to go through in our life. Amen? We must have a strategy. You know, the enemy has one. He has a strategy. We need to have a strategy. We need to start thinking about the things that possibly the enemy could attack us. Where is our weakness? And we must have a plan for success. You know, we need to be successful. The way, you know, Pastor John was talking about that fire that you know, gets into us, that God puts into us. We need to realize that fire is something that we require in order to do anything that we want to do. You know, we have to have that fire in us. Otherwise, you know, what fire burns anything up if it's not lit? There is no fire, right? It's a fire that drives us and takes us to that next level so that we can actually hear the voice of God. You know, we must know and understand our enemy's strongholds. Where do you think the strongholds are today? Media. Amen. Where is he strong? He's strong in our flesh. Our flesh is easily manipulated. We can get confused. We can if we're not really focused in studying the Word of God and getting that fire in us, we can get confused about what it is that we are supposed to do. You know, sometimes I've asked people, I said, what do you think your purpose is? And it's like, well, I don't know. Well, you know what? As Christians, we need to find our purpose. We really do. We need to find our strengths and our weaknesses. We need to know them. And where does your strength come from? The Lord, right? The Holy Spirit. And also from the Word. You know, if you need to read your Word so that you can the Holy Spirit can minister to you. The Word, confirmed in our hearts by the Spirit, gives us the ability to be strong in times of trial. Have anybody here prayed during a time of trial and got peace through it? Amen. You know, I can't tell you how many times, you know, when you're pressured into doing certain things, like doing two messages on the same day, that it puts a struggle in your mind and how you're going to get this done and how you're going to do it well. You know. But you know what? I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in God. And I can't tell you how many times that I have been given something to do like this, and I get to do it, not thinking that I actually was prepared to do it, and the Holy Spirit take over and actually deliver something more than I even planned. So, and I always pray for that. I always pray, because my concern, my battle is within myself, as it is for each and every one of us, but it's also for the ability to overcome certain situations within us. Because you know what? None of us, how many of us actually see ourselves as warriors? Amen. Amen. And I'm glad to see that, because each and every one of us should consider ourselves a warrior. Every one of us should understand the value that we bring to the church by taking on a warrior mentality. Amen. Being strong is not just about winning. Sometimes it's just about standing. Amen. Not retreating. You may not be able to move forward because life or struggles and things going on around you don't allow you to move forward. But you know, just saying, but I'm not going backwards. I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to stand right here until God helps me, moves me, or takes me in another direction, but it will be forward, not backward. Amen. And sometimes it's about sacrifice. Not a kind, easy word to swallow. But, you know, sacrifice isn't always a wound to the flesh. It's not always death. Sometimes it's a sacrifice of time. Sometimes it's a sacrifice of money. There's things that you can do that will help the church, that will build the church, that will strengthen the church, that just requires a little bit more of your time. Sometimes we're not willing to give it up, or sometimes we think we've already given too much. But I tell you what, with the fire of the Holy Spirit in you, you never feel full that you cannot give something more. The Holy Spirit will make you and desire, give you the desire to give back more than you get in. And actually, He will overfill you so that you have to give it away and make you excited to do it. So how far can we take sacrifice? Well, there's a couple scriptures that challenge us, right? Matthew 5:44. And then 46 through 47, it says, "But I will tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even pagans do that?" So sometimes, you know, we can get trapped in our own environment in church where we get comfortable in our groups, but we're not really touching anybody outside. You know, we should be so on fire for the Lord that this church is full of people that we have touched. And we just, I mean, I'm not criticizing anybody here. I'm just challenging us to rethink what we are to do as Christians, because we are in a world, as Pastor John had said, where people are changing according to their flesh. We can do whatever we want now according to our flesh. If we declare it, that becomes okay. And we are here to say that we're here to fight for them. They are not the enemy. The concepts that they support are the enemy. But they can support our concept. All we need to do is bring the Holy Spirit with us when we do our speaking. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit will deliver a message even though you did it improperly. Because the message, and I believe when God sends you, He's already implanted the message. And when you speak it, it's converted into reality for them. And I think that their spirit changes. In these two scriptures, we are asked to be the epitome of a warrior. And I didn't read the second one. Seven. The second one is Luke 6:27-28. It says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." And I say these scriptures are the epitome of a warrior. To stand in the fray with arrows and bullets whizzing by your head, praying for those doing the shooting. That's how this church gets filled up. That's how we bring people to salvation. When they can see that we will even sacrifice for them while they're trying to kill us, you know, things like when Paul was thrown in jail and the chains were broken away. You think people didn't realize that God was God when that happened? You know, when we stand in the fray for other people, they see something that they're not used to, especially when we're standing in that fray for them. In Psalm 19:39, it says, "You armed me with strength for battle. You humbled my adversaries before me." You know, in the Old Testament, battles were God giving victory over Israel's enemies. In the New Testament, a little twist to that, victory is not so much about defeating our external enemies as much as it is about defeating the enemy within us. Amen? It's about getting rid of the doubts and the fears and the anxiety and those things that hold us back from moving forward. It's about taking the things that God has given us and converting them into a power that is not even recognized by us. So we gain victory when we gain victory over ourselves. Now, sometimes the enemy is not so much Satan himself, but overcoming our needs, wants, and desires. Because what leads us in so many different directions and what makes us go from here to there and makes us lukewarm is that we get confused when we don't spend enough time with God. And then we end up going in directions and letting our flesh do some of the things that it prefers to do. And I'm not saying you shouldn't have pleasure in life. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying we need to check how much we're letting it invade our relationship with God. Because getting ourselves prepared for the fight is just as important as the fight itself. You know, I think about David. You know, David didn't need armor, but he was prepared for the fight against Goliath. He didn't need all of the... matter of fact, he couldn't wear it. He wouldn't have been able to sling the sling if he had all that armor on. But he was prepared his whole life for that fight. Because he was a shepherd protecting his flock. And when he went to go to protect his flock, he had to take on some massive animals, right? Bears, lions. And he defeated those. And that prepared him for that fight that he had to go up against Goliath with. So we need to prepare to meet our Goliath. And you know what? When you look at the things that go, you know, retrospect in your life, the things that actually affected you and made you fearful and gave you anxiety, those are where the Goliaths lie. Those desires in your heart that will take you away from God, that's where the Goliaths lie. So we need to uncover those things in our life, and we need to recognize them. We need to be frank with ourselves that this is something that we need to defeat. And you know, if you need help from somebody else, you need to go seek it. You need to seek help from people. You get prayer for people. And just try to do the best we can and not criticize ourselves for failures all the time, recognizing that we do fail, but realizing that it's one of the things that we will conquer. We will go through that, and we will fight until the end. Amen? I don't want to see anybody in here not struggle, I mean, to struggle and leave. I want you to struggle and find victory. And what are you fighting for? Has anybody here sat down and pondered or actually thought about, if I'm a warrior, if I need to be a warrior, what am I fighting for? You know, some of us, we need to be fighting for ourselves so that we can help fight others. We can fight for others, I should say. But knowing what we're fighting for is important because it changes our direction. When you have something that you become passionate to fight for, you now are going to prepare yourselves and go in the direction of that desire. So if you're fighting for the things of God, and you find that you understand the love of God in your heart, and you understand the passion that He has for each and every one of us, then we take that passion, and that passion leads us into a different path that we were going to take without it. And passion will drive us. If we get the passion of Jesus Christ in our heart and the things that He died for, which is each and every one of us, then it will change us. If you have no purpose, you have no desire. If you don't feel it, you won't carry it out. So are we kind of unfeeling about the things of God? Then we need to pray for more passion. We need to pray that He will move us and change us so that we can do the work that's necessary. To understand our gift, we all have a gift. We are all blessed with a gift that God has put into us. And I pray that maybe, you know, there will be a gift that rises up in here that will recognize gifts and encourage them and prophesy to them and all of those things. We need more gifts to show up because that gives us a confirmation of our faith when we can hear from somebody else the things that God's already spoken to us about, that now somebody is confirmed. And you said, when I was praying, God told me that, but I didn't understand it. Maybe there's a gift in here that can help clarify that for somebody else. You know, it's more than just being a congregation. It's being evangelistic wherever we go. You know, if we strive to create our own purpose other than the one God has purposed for us, we will fail. In Proverbs 19:21, it says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Amen. You know, whatever we create in the flesh dies in the flesh. But whatever we create in the spirit goes on eternally. A warrior knows his enemy. If you don't know Christ, the enemy doesn't need to do much. He will use you, however, to stir up his agenda to prevent others from coming to Christ. Because we don't have anything that gives us a direction, we will follow whatever the whims of the air bring in our direction. And what do we got? We've got media today that can confuse the heck out of you if you just listen to it for a half a minute. But if you do know Christ, then Satan acts more like a sniper. He knows that if you're following Christ, that you're not going to be easily changed. But he will try to use whatever he can to pick at those things of your flesh that you're still holding on to. And he will fire at them, and he will try to weaken you. He will try to weaken your relationship with God so that he can make that little adjustment and change your thinking and your spirit. So you got to be careful. That's why you need to be a warrior. You know, a warrior prepares for the fight every single day. They are working constantly to battle against what they know the enemy is planning on doing. And they are working to thwart the enemy at every turn. They have a strategy. They go out and they perform their due diligence to make sure that there is nothing out there that would be weak on any front. You know, the enemy is looking for your children. He's looking for your family members. He's looking for your spouses. He wants, and he knows, every weakness that surrounds you. And he will use it to his advantage. We need to always be ready, not taken by surprise. Almost like a sixth sense, in that spiritual sense, that we know where the enemy is going to come from. You know, the Christian warrior knows the flesh versus spiritual things. We need to be like ninjas, right? Oh. You know, kick that guy. Oh, I didn't even hurt myself that time. But you know, we need to be kind of slicker than the enemy. We need to have more skills than he does. We need to build up those skills so that we can actually have victory in every turn. Amen. Bring that victory to somebody else. In Psalm 68:35, it says, "O God, you are awesome from your sanctuary. The God of Israel himself gives strength and power to the people. Blessed be God." The next thing we have is patience. In Isaiah 40:31, it says, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up wings like eagles, and they will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." So, why is patience so important? Because it's God's timing, not ours. You know, how many times do we pray for something and God hasn't answered, and we get all upset because we're not getting an answer for these prayers? I've been praying for somebody for 20-some years, and they still haven't been healed, but I still pray for them. Because you know what? I know God can. I don't worry about whether or not my prayer actually healed them right now. All I'm praying is that, God, if it be in your will, and if it isn't, then, you know, he's got other plans for them, or maybe somebody else needs to pray that isn't prayed for them yet. Whatever it is, I trust that God has his purpose in everything. And I'm not going to second guess somebody who is all-knowing and almighty, who created this heaven and earth because of my little request. Amen. It's those kinds of thoughts that actually weaken us when we think that God doesn't care. You know, if you think about it, Gideon, for example, in the 300, everybody knows the story, you know, from how many was it? 30,000 to 300? You know, 300 to have victory over the enemy. That was greater. It was a greater army than they were, I think, at the time, in numbers. But, you know, so, you know, we as an individual, God showed Gideon that it was he who would provide the victory. And he proved it by not having 30,000 men go in there and have the victory, but an unimaginable odds against winning, he gave them victory. When you think about who you are, you can't let the enemy steal the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit and God, who lives and rules this world, lives in you and rules this world. You need to have that conviction that no matter what, he can do whatever you ask. Amen? Even Jesus talked about this. He said, "Therefore Jesus told them, 'My time is not yet here. For you, any time will do. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of its works are evil. You go to the festival. I am not going to this festival because my time has not yet fully come.' After he had said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, but not publicly, but in secret." So, He was held. He stayed back for a purpose. Okay? There was a reason behind him not going along with everything else. Now, sometimes we just want to do what we want to do with everybody else as they're doing it. But sometimes God may be speaking to you. Not this time. Do it this way. Lack of patience leads to poor decision making. Family and friends. Patience with family and friends to give them time to accept that Jesus that you know have come to know. To accept the Jesus that you have come to know. So sometimes we want to browbeat them into believing in Jesus Christ. And God's just saying, hey, just give them what I give you. Love them and move on. And eventually, I will change them. And you have to believe that anything that you do with the love of Christ will make a change in somebody else's life. I mean, after all, what have we been called to do? We've been called to condemn people? We have not been called to condemn anybody. We need to continue to develop our relationship with God. In 1 Peter 4:11, it says, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterance of God. Whoever serves is to do as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. So as we serve God, are we doing it for our own recognition or His? It should always be to glorify God. And the last thing I have here I wanted to speak on is prayer. Prayer is where we get our marching orders. Amen? It's what Jesus did. In Luke 5:16 it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely place and prayed. How often do we pray? This is really important. You know, I think that every prayer meeting should be filled up. That's my opinion. I think if we believe in prayer and we recognize the power and the opportunities that prayer provides, that every prayer meeting should be full. Because we know that there is going to be something that comes out of that. It puts us in connection with God and develops our faith, which gives us strength. So as we get closer to God, we can actually become stronger in our faith. Prayer prepares us and gives us purpose. As you're speaking with God, I've been in prayer sometimes when God just overwhelms me with understanding and clarity about things. You know, when I think about the times when I was struggling financially, and as a matter of fact, we were talking about it upstairs, prayer gave me peace. And rightfully so, because God gave me a way out of debt. And there's so many ways that He can help you with your life and struggles and trials in your life. Without prayer, we are fighting in our own strength. And we will always lose. So what do? We pray in a moment. Pray in the midst of conflict. We pray with the sword in your hand when the enemy is pounding at your door. Pray with the bullets are flying by in the midst of the battle. In Ephesians 6:13, it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Remember I was talking about sometimes it's just standing. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. If you know the Word of God and you believe in the Word of God, nothing, all the promises that He's provided you, the everlasting that He's provided, nothing on this earth can change your standing, the place that you're going to stay and say that I am going to struggle here in this spot. To stand with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And I'm going to end with this, Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, Be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Amen. Prayer is essential. Prayer and connection to God. That's where your power comes from. You have accepted the Lord, Jesus Christ, and you've received your salvation. Now let's bring it to the rest of the world. Let yourself be the power and the strength and the warrior that can believe that you can do more in spite of what you think you are. You certainly are a warrior in God's eyes, and that's what He's designed you to be. So I just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll ask the prayer team to come forward. Let's pray this, so we'll end in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for the blessings that you provided. And Father, I pray that we always have a thankful heart, Lord God, and I just ask that you just anoint the message that was here today, Father God, and that every individual, Father, will see themselves even in greater position than they were before. Lord, I just thank you for the blessings, and again, just bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.